Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns, until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning, and before we come into God's word, may I request that we all stand up, turn to the left, turn to the right, front and back. And would you give one another a sign of peace, a big smile, a warm handshake, a fist bump, high five? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And a good morning also to those of you who are joining us online. So this morning we're on a sermon series from the Acts of the Apostles, which is also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because this Bible book records the acts of early Christian witnesses directed by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. So today we will look at Acts chapter 8. And there we will see a divine appointment arranged by the Holy Spirit for two people and in the most unlikely of places. There, a seeker of truth found salvation in Jesus Christ because a Christian willingly came away from his regular business to reach out to him. So let's close in on this Bible passage and today see if you and I too can be engaged in such a divine appointment. So we'll begin by looking at the two men, firstly the Ethiopian eunuch and then Philip, and then we'll consider two practical pointers for us to share the gospel. Next slide, please. The first man was from Ethiopia. Ethiopia, a region which we today call the Upper Nile. So it's the region that stretches from Aswan in Egypt down to Khartoum in the African country of Sudan. This Ethiopian was an official in the court of Candace in the ancient African kingdom of Kush, that is modern-day Ethiopia. Now, some of us ladies here go by that name, Candace. Yet Candace is not so much a personal name, but actually a royal dynastic title for queen or empress, much like the title Pharaoh is for the ancient rulers of Egypt. This man is presumably a black African. And the Bible says that he is a eunuch. In ancient times, male court officials were often castrated and at a very young age, so that they could be safely used to guard the queen as well as the other women in the king's harem. So eunuchs were trusted more than other men because they have no capacity to marry. And having no spouse and children, it was thought that a eunuch would be more single-minded in his assignment. So this man was Candace's treasurer. His office, some people today would say, was like the U.S. Secretary of Treasury. I leave that to you to decide. But the Bible tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch had a deep interest in the Jewish faith. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his return, in his chariot, he was reading God's word from the Old Testament. So Bible scholars say that he was probably a proselyte. A proselyte is a non-Jew, a Gentile who had converted to Judaism. And because this Ethiopian was a eunuch, at the temple in Jerusalem when he was there, this man would not have been allowed the full privileges of worship. Why? Because in the Old Testament, there is a law in Deuteronomy 23 that placed a ban on people like him. It says, no one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So the Ethiopian eunuch was there in Jerusalem to worship God. Yet, friends, he did not quite belong. Now, this man chose to read the scripture from the prophet Isaiah. Why was he drawn to it? Could it be because there in Isaiah, the prophet talks about God's acceptance of all kinds of people, including the foreigners and including the eunuchs? Let's read together Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through to 5. Let's go. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Verse 3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. So here, God speaks directly to eunuchs, people who, as it were, miss out on human wholeness. God says that they are not excluded from His kingdom. So today, we see in this Ethiopian a person in search of truth, a person with an active interest in the things of God, and a person probably with many questions about the Word of God, one who is seeking God Himself. Friends, are you such a seeker? And perhaps like the eunuch who was not fully welcome into the assembly of worshippers, does it seem like your race, your gender, or your identity associated with your gender, your social standing, or your past, what you were born into, the things that have been done to you over the years, that all these things seem to be getting in the way? God's word tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance and be saved in Jesus Christ. So God reached out to the Ethiopian eunuch. He set for him an appointment which changed his destiny. So nothing can block God's plan for anyone who humbly and earnestly seeks God. His promise is that anyone who seeks Him will find Him. The other man in the story is Philip. Now, when we read the Bible in the New Testament, there are two Philips. One was in Jesus' original band of 12 disciples, and the other is usually known as Philip the Evangelist. And Philip the Evangelist is the character in our story for today. This Philip, the Bible in Acts chapter 6 tells us that he was one of seven men chosen to be deacons in the early church in Jerusalem. So the Bible says that these men were chosen because they were men of good repute. They were men full of the Holy Spirit. They were men of wisdom. And as deacons, they were appointed to serve tables, which means that Philip in the church in Jerusalem was engaged to support its ministries, involved in support ministries like caring for the widows and the poor. Later on in Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip grew in his ministry, and now he is in another city. He is in Samaria, and he is preaching to the Samaritans and doing that with miracles, with signs and wonders following. Now, the Samaritans were a mixed race of Jewish and pagan ancestry. The Samaritans were Jews who had intermarried with the Assyrians, the Assyrians being the ancient enemy of Israel, the Assyrians who invaded and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel more than 700 years before the time of Philip. In the law of Moses, intermarriage was forbidden. Furthermore, the Samaritans had changed some parts of that law. So you remember Jesus in his conversation with a Samaritan woman, the woman from Samaria. She was saying that the Samaritans, they worship in a different place, a place different from Jerusalem. So you can understand why the Jews in the time of Jesus Christ and in the time of Philip could not get along well with the Samaritans. But friends, who would have imagined that Philip, who was one serving welfare portions to widows in the Jerusalem church, would now be able to deal with such ancient prejudices as he carries the gospel into Samaritan territory? But the Bible tells us that Philip preached, and many Samaritans believed and were freed from sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, many were delivered from demonic activity and healed of physical afflictions. And as a result, there was great joy in the city. Then, at that spiritual height, the Bible in Acts, the later part of Acts chapter 8, tells us that an angel appears to Philip. As Philip is successfully preaching the good news, the angel tells him to leave Samaria and to go down south. Friends, herein we see the heart of God. That God values one individual as much as the multitudes. So that he moves Philip to go down south to reach the Ethiopian. This Ethiopian man is a foreigner, even more so than the Samaritans. And friends, here too we see the heart of the servant of God. And in Philip's case, it is clearly one that is after God's own heart. You see, when Philip was in the Jerusalem church and the Holy Spirit directed him to move to Samaria, Philip obeyed. However, it could be said that that was a practical move, because at that time in Jerusalem, a persecution of Christians had broken out. So many of the believers, for the sake of their own safety, had moved out of Jerusalem. And then now in Samaria, amidst a great spiritual revival, a thriving ministry, and perhaps Philip's own growing congregation, the Bible says that Philip also obeyed God when he called him to go down south. This meant a journey of about 100 miles from Samaria to a desert road leading down to Gaza. We know Gaza. Today, it is very much in the news. So we see that Philip was not only a faithful minister of the multitudes, where all the action is, but he was also the humble, personal worker of the gospel. Full of the Spirit, Philip had clearly grown in his ministry, and thankfully, not grown too big for his boots. Friends, Philip's obedience paved the way for the Ethiopian eunuch to believe in Jesus Christ. And this is significant because through that conversion, the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. It went out to the ends of the earth. Just as Jesus had told his disciples earlier on at his ascension that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Church tradition says that this Ethiopian spread the gospel as he returned to Africa. Now, in the second century AD, church fathers like Irenaeus mention him evangelizing, spreading the gospel in his own homeland. Friends, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know which is the oldest Christian country in the world? Anyone? Which is the oldest Christian country in the world? Not England. Certainly not the US. It is Armenia. And next in line to have officially proclaimed Christianity as its state religion is Ethiopia. So this happened in AD 333. The Ethiopian church is one of the oldest church in Africa, in the world today. And more than 2,000 years later today, Christians in Ethiopia, in Sudan, and parts of Africa face violent persecution, but the Church of Jesus Christ still stands. Rise up and go down south, said the angel to Philip. Philip obeyed, and that desert road led to a divine appointment. Friends, are there some of us today who are hearing this call and hearing it so clearly, so specifically? Let's now move and close in on that divine appointment to pick up two truths that will help us to share the gospel with other people. Firstly, the point that people need to hear the gospel and to understand it. You see, as Philip drew near to the chariot that day, he heard the Ethiopian reading this passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And Philip asked the Ethiopian man if he understood what he was reading. So that was when the man asked Philip who that passage was about. Was it about the prophet Isaiah, or was it about somebody else? Now, friends, you and I, as believers, today we know that that passage describes our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly suffered and gave his life as a final sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ submitted himself to injustice through humiliation and then to death on the cross, so that you and I can be forgiven of our sin and you and I can be made right with God. So we know this. But the Ethiopian had to ask that question because hardly anyone in the first century Judaism then was expecting a suffering Messiah. In the Jewish understanding at that time, the Messiah, the Savior of the world as such, would be a triumphant Messiah, not a suffering servant. So Philip, beginning with this scripture, told the Ethiopian the good news about Jesus Christ. The mind of the Ethiopian was open. And when he understood the gospel, then like all the others in the book of Acts who heard the gospel and who believed, he was water baptized. So the message of the gospel, we know, is found in the Bible from the beginning to the end. In it, sacrifice and the shedding of blood was all in God's plan of salvation. So, for example, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis and chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned and they realized their shame, they tried to cover their shame with fig leaves, which of course offered no cover. You just have to imagine what will happen when the wind blows. So God provided them with proper cover, cover with animal skins. So this means that innocent animals were killed, blood was shed. Later on in Exodus chapter 12, in Egypt, when God was about to set his people free from bondage, free from Pharaoh, you will recall that innocent lambs died for the people of Israel. The instruction then was for the blood of the lambs to be applied to the doorposts of the houses so that all those in those households, all who came under the blood of the lambs would be safe from the angel of death that came about that night. In the Old Testament, animals had to be sacrificed, and the whole religious system was based on the shedding of blood. So sometimes people say that the old religious system was very bloody in that sense. Indeed, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So all these animal sacrifices in the Old Testament foreshadowed one permanent sacrifice. They all pointed forward to the ultimate sacrifice of the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, that sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. His blood was shed. And for all who believe, for all who would come under the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, they would not die eternally. They would be ransomed and saved from the condemnation of sin. So from Genesis to Revelation, from the start to the end of the Bible, God's salvation plan is revealed. But friends, it is not enough that a person wants to be saved. He needs to understand God's plan of salvation. It's not good enough for us to say we want to be saved. We need to know how to be saved. And my question to all of us today is, are you able to share God's salvation plan with another person? You know, sharing the gospel is actually not difficult. We can use a simple tool called the gospel bridge. Now, these gospel presentations are aplenty today. You can easily find them on the internet. You just have to Google gospel bridge and YouTube will roll it out to you. And I would like to take this opportunity to encourage all of you to learn how to do this. And for those of us who are planning to go on mission trips, even if it's just to build a toilet or to paint a wall, I would say please do not go on that road until you have learned how to share the gospel. May I also encourage all of us in our cell groups, leaders, perhaps you take the initiative at some point in time, so that within your groups, you practice sharing the gospel with one another, sharing your testimonies with one another. It is really not difficult. And today, there is in the foyer area up there, a desk for the Alpha course. We ask you also to go by that desk, get some information on how to share the gospel, because the Alpha course has been very much used as a tool to bring people to Jesus Christ. In sharing the gospel, the second thing that we should remember is that God works His plan of salvation through human agents. God's plan is worked through human agents. You know, just last month, a few SJSMers, both adults and the younger people from Heartbeat Service, hosted several members of staff and students who came from a university college in Thailand. So the Thais were here in Singapore to learn about our country, our culture, our educational system, and to improve their English. So the host families had housed them in their own homes. The youths from Heartbeat showed them around Singapore, and they did very many fun things together. A retired professor from SJSM spoke to them about our education system. And this group of Thais also joined the Heartbeat service, as well as sitting in an introductory session of the Alpha course. Now, touched by the warm hospitality of the hosts, a few of them started to ask their hosts about the Christian faith. And one of them in particular, a young man, asked why Jesus had to die for our sins. Why was there no other way? Why did Jesus have to die? So his host promptly shared the gospel with him. And then next day, at their daily team review debrief, this young man shared with his team what he understood of the gospel. And although he did not say that he had come to believe in Jesus Christ, those who were in the team who heard it were glad to know that his sharing of God's plan of salvation was accurate. So at the end of their trip, many of the Thais, they expressed their deep gratitude to the hosts. They appreciated the programs that SJSM and their friends had planned for them. They said they learned many things. Yet what they were most grateful for was the interactions with their hosts. They said that through their hosts, they had been blessed with kindness and love. God works through human agents. You know, just a few days ago, a very kind colleague of mine thought that she would help me with my sermon this weekend. So she asked Chat GPT for a sermon script on Acts chapter 8, and then she sent it to me. Now, Chat GPT, we know, is an artificial intelligence chat box, an AI instrument. You could ask Chat GPT sort of any question and it will respond, and it could also compose written content. It can write for you an email, an essay, and yes, even sermons. So when I read the script, I was thrilled to note that many of the points that I had written in my own script tallied with those of Chat GPT. So this piqued my interest in AI. And so I decided to consult another AI instrument called Copilot. Copilot had the same points as Chat GPT. They both presented this passage in the Bible as a record of a divine appointment. But co-pilot made an additional comment which I thought is significant and which I have highlighted on the screen. It said, just as Philip met the eunuch on the desert road, God meets us in our unique circumstances. ChatGPT also said that. But co-pilot said, the internet provides information, but personal interaction is often more effective. Encourage listeners to be open to divine appointments and to share the good news wherever they go. So friends, with this new dawn of AI, I know that many of us are very apprehensive, anxious, scared of artificial information. But it looks like there is still hope for humanity. So aware of its limitations, here AI recommends personal human interaction. God works his plan of salvation through human agents. Now coming back to our passage in Acts chapter 8, have you ever wondered why it was Philip and not the angel whom God sent down south in search of the Ethiopian? Why did God have to send the angel and then the angel speak to Philip and then Philip go down the road? Why did God not just ask the angel to go right down that road and go direct to the Ethiopian? So one obvious reason is this, that in the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. That Great Commission was given to Christians. Not anyone else but Christians, not even to angels. And for those of us who read the Bible and understand the nature and the origin of angels, we'll know that while angels can intervene in the affairs of men and angels can help us, but angels can never bear witness to what it means to be saved, because angels have never personally experienced God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace. May I now conclude by sharing an experience with you. Some time ago, I was asked to give a eulogy at the funeral of my friend. And as a tribute to him, I spoke of our friendship, the friendship that we had shared for many years. And I shared very briefly how he, in his younger days, had come to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And then shortly after the funeral, his son, who was in his 30s at that time and not a Christian believer, contacted me. He wanted to know more about his father's conversion. So we met, and over coffee, I told this man what I knew of his father when his dad became a Christian, why his dad became a Christian, and how his dad had received God's forgiveness and God's strength to live life anew. And as I did, I saw tears welling up in his eyes. This man said that he admired his dad and he thought he knew his dad well. And I suppose he did, because he knew the things that his dad liked. He also knew the things that his dad disliked. He knew his dad was a Christian. He knew how his dad met his mom and how they got married in church. And he also knew that from the time of his dad's diagnosis, 3 months on, and then he passed away, that during those 3 months, even when his dad was so weak, his dad insisted on going to church. So he knew his dad was a Christian, but he did not know his father's conversion story, how he had found hope in Jesus Christ. And this man said to me, had he known his dad's conversion story, his life might have been different. He hinted that he was facing questions and issues of life similar to the ones his dad faced, the ones that I had just told him about. Several weeks after that coffee conversation, I was pleasantly surprised when one day when I was in church and I saw this man in the congregation. And then several months after that, I was even happier when I saw his name on the list of people preparing to be baptized. So of course I was overjoyed and I thought, if only his dad knew. And then I thought again, if only this young man had heard the conversion story of his dad from his dad himself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your conversion story? What is your salvation story? How did you fit into God's plan of salvation? Your family, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, those who work with you, those who work for you, do they know your story? Would you be willing to tell them your story and tell them yourself? Why and how you decided to follow Jesus Christ? Why and how, by the grace of God, that you still follow Him today? Shall we bow and pray together? Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, who cast off no one who comes to you, thank you for your promise that the one who seeks you will find you. Thank you that when we were still far off in our sin, our guilt and shame, you met us in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for saving our souls. Father, thank you too for the people, ordinary yet faithful servants of yours, who willingly came away from what they were doing to reach out to us with the gospel. Help us today as we hear the call of your Holy Spirit, so we in turn may serve to bring other people into the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.